Thanks for tuning in to The Rewind, where we dig back in our vault of previous shows. I'm your host, Alan Stein. On today's Rewind episode of the Pure Sweat Basketball Show...
I think a lot of it always goes back to, do they have your best interest at heart when you go to them with something?
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
This is Reese Davis from ESPN, and you're listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
Thank you for listening to the show committed to coach and player development. I'm your host, Alan Stein. We do this show to serve you, so your feedback is not only welcomed, it's extremely valuable. Please email me directly at alan@puresweatbasketball.com with your thoughts and suggestions. In today's episode, I talk shop with Rich Sislowski as we take a deep dive into the importance of your inner circle. Rich, you know, I've heard and I've read several times that they say you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Would you agree?
Well, that would make me 20% 7-year-old and 20% 2-year-old, so... That could very well be true. I probably do act like a 7-year-old half the time. But I think it's, I personally think it's the five people that you place in your inner circle or five people that are in your inner circle, because some of those inner circles are bigger than that. I think the time spent part of it is where I get tripped up on that quote. To me, that's kind of, it's relative to me. I think quality of time, not quantity of time, is important in that. And I think the focus of that time is what plays a role. So, you know, to say that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with, well, if that time spent is not really focused on developing who you are, then I would disagree with it.
Gotcha.
So I think the premise is pretty solid. I just think that that's a little too painting with a little too broad a brush. And I'm someone who I pour and invest into those relationships that I'm talking about. So obviously I pour everything into my relationship with my kids, my 7-year-old, my 2-year-old, but I wouldn't necessarily say that they're constantly shaping who I am in like the business world, that type of thing. So I think there's some pieces there that probably need to be picked apart.
Gotcha. So how would you define inner circle, or how do you define it for yourself?
To me, it's trusted family, friends, and colleagues. It's kind of who you most feel comfortable sharing everything with. You know, it's for me, before I called it an inner circle, I can't even remember where I got this from. So as a coach, I like to steal things. I'm stealing this from somebody and can't give him credit. But, I think it might've been John Maxwell actually, and just popped in my head as I was talking about this, having a thinking team. And so I have certain people who, when I am struggling with an issue or I have an idea, I have certain people who I throw it out to, and they're kind of my thinking team. I ask them if they'll, pick this thing apart. I also stole from Newsroom, and you've heard me use this a lot, having a red team.
Yes.
So there are also people that I keep in the dark up until the point where I'm ready to present something for real, or I'm ready, and then I show it to them and I ask them to pick it apart. So I think those things are important. I think having a thinking team, having a red team are things that you want to do, and those people should be people that are in your inner circle, people that you trust, people that have your best interest at heart, not somebody who... as you're talking to them about a decision or something you're struggling with, is actually sitting there thinking about, okay, how does this affect me personally before I give this advice to the person? So I think another key component of that inner circle is the people that you're talking to that are in your inner circle put you first in those situations.
Gotcha. I guess that shows our imbalance in intellect, that you're stealing stuff from John Maxwell and I'm stealing stuff from Meet the Parents, and I call mine the circle of trust. So really, what criteria are, not necessarily are you looking for, would you recommend, let's say, a player? Because we know, especially at the impressionable age of, say, a high school student, high school player, that their inner circle and the people that they most relate to, how important that is for them to guard that tightly. What are some of the criteria they should use for who they let in and out? I mean, a lot of times it's just kind of your friends. You know, these were my friends in elementary school and middle school, and they're still my friends now. But those might not be the best people to be in your inner circle for you to be successful.
Yeah, you know, this is one that we actually talk about with our players at the start of every season. We do a bunch of different seminars, you know, note-taking, time management, nutrition, those types of things. Well, one of them is We put him through a foxhole test. And this one, I can tell you, we stole from Don Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
But his foxhole test is something that we have our players go through. And basically, we have a sheet that explains what a foxhole is. And then we have a circle in the middle of the sheet. And we have them put their most trusted friend at that basically has their back. So their name is at one part of the circle. And then they put the number one trusted friend behind them, the person who's got their back at the bottom of the circle. And then they put another name at the right of the circle, another name at the left of the circle. The idea being, if, you know, in war, soldiers dig foxholes, you know, to get themselves cover if there isn't any. You know, who do you want to have your back? Who are your three people who you trust the most? And we make it very clear to them, listen, this is not who you spend the most time with necessarily. This is not, you know, who the cool, popular guys on the team are necessarily. This is not starters on this team necessarily. This is, in a life or death situation, who are you most going to be able to count on? And it's always interesting to see who gets selected in those things. The exercise is very valuable in team building because, number one, you're starting to find out who players trust. And I don't mean a player individually. I mean the whole team.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of years where you'll have one guy who shows up in every single person on the team's foxhole.
That's really
and it may
cool.
not be a starter. Yeah, and so the other thing you look at, though, is you can see, kind of see if there are cliques. You know, you can kind of see if you know, who the guys are that hang out with each other. Because, you know, they're high school kids. So they still think that the guys that they hang out with the most are the people they can count on the most. And sometimes that's true, and other times it's not. And then the third component to that is if you know for a fact that a player hangs out with so-and-so most of their time and they don't show up in that person's foxhole, that tells you something about, you know, not only their relationship, but you know, it's kind of a red flag for what's going on here. You know, why these two hang out all the time, but they don't have each other in their foxholes. So to me, that's something that's important to teach players, that, you know, you need to have this kind of inner circle. And that's why we love that foxhole test. But I think why it's so important for kids is they need to start to understand that, you know, who you spend the time with and who you decide to count on really kind of shapes who you become as an individual. And I think that's a valuable life lesson outside of basketball that they need to have.
Absolutely. Love that foxhole test. That's one every coach should do with their team. I'm going to ask you kind of a personal question. You don't necessarily have to tell me who's in your inner circle, but can you share, has your inner circle changed much over the last 3, 5, 10 years?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, for me, you know, I won't give a ton of names here, but yeah, my parents and my wife obviously are in there. I have a core group of friends who I basically grew up with. You know, we've stayed in touch for years. We were in each other's weddings, that type of thing. Those guys are definitely in there. I have 3 or 4 major mentors who have been, you know, either former coaches of mine or, you know, or I've coached with that have been around the game for a long time that are in the inner circle. And then, you know, several colleagues, you and Drew obviously are in there, and Kyle and Jeremy are guys that are in my inner circle, people who I trust and I treat as family. But I think that's a big part of it is, you know, inside my inner circle, they're people who I look at as family. You know,
yeah.
I don't discern between, they're just a friend or they're part of my family. And to me, it's really important to know who those people are. It does change. I mean, it can shift, as things change. You're not always going to be 100% accurate. Sometimes you're going to find out someone's not in your circle that you thought was,
right,
based on their actions or those types of things. But again, I think a lot of it always goes back to, do they have your best interest at heart when you go to them with something? You know, I think you can tell those things. And I think it's really, it becomes very obvious, you know, whether or not somebody, and you mentioned, you know, meet the parents. I love the circle of trust. Robert De Niro is one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. But there's so much truth to that. You know,
yeah,
when he draws the thing for Greg Focker to, you know, that he's out of the circle of trust in that first one. It happens. I mean, people's actions and people's, you know, true heart when they come out in situations, and you may have to distance yourself from people. And that, to me, is one of the best lessons to teach high school age players in particular. But I think it's true of college players and even younger kids. You may think somebody's your best friend, and then based on their actions in certain situations or when push comes to shove, you may have to distance yourself from them.
For sure.
And that can be really, really difficult, especially for teenagers, to distance themselves from someone who may be popular. But if they're dragging you down, or if they don't have your best interest at heart, or if they're doing things that are going to get you roped into something you don't want to be a part of, you know, that's where you've got to kind of throw them outside the circle of trust or throw them outside the inner circle. And that's really, really hard for kids to do.
Absolutely. So once you've established this inner circle, man, you really hit on some major key points there. How do you best utilize your inner circle? So whether it's yourself, maybe you have a big business opportunity that you're mulling over, or maybe it's one of your high school players and they're trying to decide where they should go to college. I mean, we're talking major, major decision. What's the best way to kind of incorporate your inner circle to get that feedback and maybe utilize them to help you make an informed decision?
Yeah, I think that's really, really key, because I think the diversity of your inner circle is important. I think for one thing, you know, I think the first part of your question was what do you go to the inner circle with? It's just life decisions.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff that really weighs on you, and that you there's some things in life you can make a snap decision on and you know, okay, you know, this is the right thing to do. There are other things it's like, boy, I really got to give that some thought. Anytime you take pause to decide on something, I think that's where you take it to your inner circle. The diversity of the inner circle, like I mentioned, is important, because different people in your inner circle are going to have different skill sets. They're going to have different areas of expertise. You know, in my inner circle, if it's something that I need to be sensitive about, which is not something I'm always great at, well, I go to my wife or my mom.
Yeah.
You know, and those guys I know have the big sensitive hearts, and I can kind of get perspective from them on that. If it's a coaching thing, then I go to some of my coaching friends or to my coaching mentors. If it's just someone who I need to talk to, somebody who I know has known me my entire life, well, then I've got two or three friends that I grew up with that I can go to with that. You know, my dad seems to be one that I can go to with just about anything, but business in particular. You know, he had a great career. He retired a couple years ago, and you know, so you just kind of have to know what the skill sets of those people are. And I think one of the mistakes that people make sometimes is their inner circle is a bunch of people who are like-minded. Yep. There are a bunch of people who agree with everything that they agree with, and well, that's not always a good thing. You want some people in your inner circle who are going to hash things out and argue with you and maybe have different perspectives and viewpoints, because that helps you then get the perspectives and viewpoints that you might have blinders on when you're trying to make a decision. And I think that's important. I think the diversity of your inner circle kind of determines how effective your inner circle is.
I love that. I love that you said, you know, you've got folks that you consider peers, but you've also got folks that you consider mentors. You have folks that are actually blood relatives or obviously your wife, and you've got folks that, you know, are friends. That makes for a very, very diverse group. I know for me personally, anytime I have to make a major decision, first thing I do is internally reflect, and I make kind of a pro and con list of everything that has to do with that decision. Then I go to my inner circle, and obviously you're one of the most trusted folks in my inner circle, to get their input on it and see how they feel about especially those pros and cons. And then once I weigh all of that information together, usually for me, I kind of go with my heart. I kind of go with my gut. But it's so important to have that different perspective. I mean, you know firsthand how many times I've come to you with something and I see things very specifically through my own lens, and you've been able to give me an entirely new perspective on it. Many times that's kind of changed the course of what that decision would have been, you know, would have been. So I think that's an outstanding way to approach it. Great stuff, man. Okay, that's it for today. We sure appreciate you listening. I hope we helped you raise your game. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel for our latest performance and skill training videos, as well as exclusive content from this show. All right, we need to get back in the gym.